Today's daf in Masechet Pesachim, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is daf Mem Gimel. Mem Dalet. Apologize, we're on Mem Gimel. Amud Beis at the bottom, but today's daf is Mem Dalet. I think I'll start over again. Today's daf in Masechet Pesachim, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is daf Mem Dalet, and we're holding at the bottom of Mem Gimel, Amud Beis. So we have introduced with this parak some very important new inyanim, and once again, we discover that these inyanim give us insight into the entire concept of Isurei Achila, which remarkably are going to be based on the inyanim of Pesach, of all crazy things. And that's because we started off with this new idea of recognizing that chametz is a very special situation, and we had two new sets of chametz, which we call tarovas chametz and chametz nuksha. The idea of this concept of tarovas chametz, of course, makes us think about what is the connection of all Isurim in the Torah to mixtures. It's the chametz that is so special, because chametz is a kind of mixture that's affected by the entire mixture. But what about just regular tarovas? Now, let's consider what tarovas might mean. There's a concept of tarovas in which the taste of one thing is to be transferred to something else. So let's imagine a case where you have some meat that fell into milk. And now you take out the meat, or there's no more meat in the milk, but the milk tastes meaty. Now, over there, we consider that to be a type of tarovas, but it's a tarovas only of a taste. It's not the tarovas of the thing itself. Then we have the type of tarovas where you could have some type of chametz grain that's mixing with the non-chametz grain. It's completely mixed through. So that there you have flour that's chametz and flour that's not chametz, and they're completely mixed. Now there, of course, that is a mixture of mamasho, not just of ta'amo. There we started talking a little bit about the difference between min b'mino and min b'she'eno mino, and it's a totally different issue that is not about the taste of the thing, but the presence of the thing. Now let's talk about something else. Suppose you have so much of the thing that if you would have eaten that iser alone, you would have already been chayev. Okay, so now you have a kizayis of iser, not just the taste of the iser, not just the mamashut of the iser, but a full kizayit, which would be enough to be mechayev you. Now, as we know very well, you are not chayev on the achila of a kizayis of any iser, unless you eat that kezias within a requisite shear. That shear is b'chtei achilas pras. What exactly we're talking about is machlokas, whether that would be in terms of three beitzim, four beitzim, whether the full shear of the kedei se'uda is really eight beitzim or six beitzim, fine, but whatever the shear is. There's a particular shear that's called the shear of su'uda that the Torah gives us. And the pras, which means half of that su'uda, which is sufficient for one achila, that is the amount of time that you have available, not material time. So let's say it takes you normally, let's say, 5 minutes, which would be sort of midway of the different shear. Let's say it normally takes you 5 minutes to eat a pras. By the way, there's a machlokas whether the pras is defined by the particular type of thing that you're eating or whether it's a standard of achila, which we learn out from Negoyim, which Bedavka the Torah specifies, pat chitim velo pat saorim, and so on. And that would be the standard pras, which is the pashtas. So now within 5 minutes, you are able to eat a kezias under normal achila without rushing yourself and so on. So then, even though you spent the full 5 minutes in eating just a little kezias, you would still be chayav. Now we've got another issue. Suppose that kezias is embedded in other material. Now it's still true that when you eat a full pras of the mixture, that you would be eating a kezias of this material. So is the very fact that you ate the entire kezias, which is now mixed in something else, does that mean that you would be chayev on what it is that you ate? Or is there still a problem of its being bato in something else, even though it's the full shear to be mechayev you? That's called kezias b'chdei achilat pras. Then we have yet another question. The other question goes like this. Suppose you have something where the Torah limits the chiyuv to an act of achila. Now remember that when we're talking about a shear of kezayit, there's two different issues that we need to consider. The shear of a kezayit is called a shear of a kezayit, first of all, because there's no concept of achila less than a kezayit. But there's also a concept of a shear of kezayit that if there is achila, there needs to be this amount of the iser. You understand that those are two completely different issues. One is the question of the act. An act of achila is only defined as achila when you ate a kezayit. The other is a question of the amount of iser. The amount of iser may be usur only if you eat a kezayit. Now, let's consider an interesting question. Suppose you did eat a kezayit. You went through the act of achila. The point is, however, that there was some of the iser that was usur there mixed in, or perhaps even sitting side by side, so that you managed to do the achila of a kezayit, but only half of that kezayit was comprised of iser. The other half of that kezayit was comprised of heter. So what is the point of the shear of a kezayit? Is it a function of the act of achila? Or is it that you must have this amount of the iser? Now, that concept is called heter mitstaref li'isur, very important concept, which means that if the act itself is a kezayit, then even though part of it is heter, I can add the heter component to the iser component, which is less than kezayit, and be mechayev you on the iser because basically you did the act of achila of a kezayit. We utilize that act of achila to be mechayev you on the iser, on which we don't say the iser per se is a kezayit. Now, there are two different versions of this idea. Could I have an achila of a kezayit where the iser and the heter are completely separate? I'm holding one in one hand, one in the other hand, and I managed to eat a kezayit b'chdei achilas pras, and the part of the heter that I ate had no connection whatsoever, except by virtue of the fact that it was eaten at the same time that I was eating the other one, and time is defined by b'chdei achilas pras. Or another version would be where they actually are mixed, and where I do not have a full kezayit in the pras that I ate, which would be the reason that I would be chayev perhaps for achila b'chdei achilas pras, but I did do an act of an achila of kezayit during that time, only some of which was iser. But it was iser with the tarovis of heter, which means that I ate iser and heter together as if they were fully mixed and one thing, but only 50% of it was iser. Can I add the heter? Those are two different approaches to heter mitztaref le'iser. The latter approach is Tosis's approach, plus other Rishonim, obviously. The former approach is Rashi's approach. Today, we're going to talk about some of the different levels of the general concepts of tarovet, which will include all of these ideas. Heter mitztaref le'iser, the idea of taste, do we say that ta'am ki'ikar, that the taste of the thing is the same as eating the actual thing? So let's say if a nazir would drink water, in which a bunch of grapes had been sitting, now I took the grapes out of the water, and now there's a taste of grape in the water. Is the nazir usur because he's eating grapes? I want to caution you against worrying about the fact that obviously there would be no taste of grapes if there were not a molecular product of grapes in the water, because you wouldn't be detecting any taste of grapes. That, remember, as far as the halacha is concerned, is irrelevant, because the halacha will not view something that you cannot isolate with primitive tools, as we've spoken about many times. You will not be able to isolate those molecules. Therefore, as far as the halacha is concerned, you do not have the presence of the grapes. You only have the tam of the grapes. Obviously, that includes the issue. When we're talking about is tam considered to be the equivalent of mamashut, it would mean, does tam itself provide the presence of the grape molecules? That's essentially what the issue would be. Except, according to Rashi, and again, of course, there are other Rishonim who hold this, Rashi holds that the inyan of tam ke'ikar means that the entire thing that tastes like something becomes that something. So it is not just a question of whether we can now determine that there are grape molecules here. What's happened is that what we're looking at is, what did the Torah prohibit when it prohibits eating the iser? If the Torah prohibits eating the taste of this iser, then even something else which has been transformed into this taste will become itself iser, and you would become chayev on it just from eating a kezias of it, not by determining that there's a kezias of grape molecules in it. Now, that is a very specific approach to tam ke'ikar. And beyond that, there's a question about whether tam ke'ikar itself is actually, this whole discussion, even though it's based on psukim, whether it's meant to be a deraisa or is it an extension of the dinim of ta'aroves midrabbana. And all of the chiyuvim that we're talking about over here means only in terms of the rabbana. Those are the basic issues. These are some of the most complex issues in Shas. And once again, it's going to be Psachim that introduces the ideas of what Isurei Achila, Isurei Hana, Taroves, and not fully edible. All of those kinds of issues are introduced by Psachim for the reasons that we talked about earlier, that the holiday, the interrelationship, the nature of Korbonais, and the chibur between the people that Pesach achieves is all incredibly based on achila of various sorts. That includes, obviously, achilas matzah, and moror, chometz, and korban Pesach, and so on. So today, we got up to the Omar Rabbi Abu, Omar Rabbi Yochanan, which is five lines up from the bottom of Mem Gimel Amud Beis. Let us take a dive off of the deep end. Don't worry about learning how to swim. You know what they say. Believe it. Okay. So we're going to dive right into Omar Rabbi Abu, Omar Rabbi Yochanan. Hopefully, the Daf Yomi will provide some temporary lifelines till you get used to swimming in this. So Omar Rabbi Abu, Omar Rabbi Yochanan. As a norm, we would not say that if you have, let's say, half of a kezias of iser and half a kezias of heter, and you eat the entire kezias, we would not say that since you went ahead and ate a kezias, therefore you're going to be chayev even on the iser, which is less than a kezias, except in one case. Chutz mi isurei nazir. The only unusual situation is a special pasuk that the Torah has spoken about, the Naziros. Since the Torah specifies when it comes to a Nazir, a brand new halacha, which is called B'yayin, V'shechar, Yazir, and it talks about all the things you're not allowed to have, the Chometz Yayin, the Chometz Shechar, Lo Yishteh, so far everything is fine. Then all of a sudden, it throws in the word, v'chol mishrat anavim lo yishteh. Don't drink something in which grapes were soaked. Whoa. Don't drink something in which grapes were soaked. So what would that mean? Well, it's obviously coming to tell me, says Rabbi Abo, and this is a quote from Rabbi Yochanan, which is important as we'll see, that the idea over here is that the Mishrat would mean even if you had partially, and that's what Mishrat Anavim means. So that let's say you had a piece of bread and you soaked the bread in grape juice. So it is a Mishrat Anavim. And now you do not have the full kizayis of the Anavim. If you eat the Mishrat Anavim, the bread that was soaked in the Anavim, you would be chayev. It's called Mishrat Anavim Lo Yishteh. That becomes part of the Lotasa, which shows that the Torah is certainly makpid on Heter Mitztarif LaIsser. Now, you might ask, it doesn't show anything of the sort. I mean, maybe all that it shows is that Tarovis is Batal and that Tam is Keiker. True. We're going to have to look into this and see why it is that we've decided that Mishrat Anavim, in this particular case, is a reference to something more important, bigger Chiddush, called Heter Mitztaref LaIsser. Now, you understand that what you think about one of these dinim does not necessarily impact what you think about the other one of these dinim, even though there are some Rishonim that say that it does. But the truth is that when you come out and look at all of the Shitas, it turns out that these two issues of Tam Keiker and Heter Mitztaref LaIsser are not related to one another. Because whoever holds of Heter Mitztaref LaIsser could still claim that he does not agree that Tam is Keiker, because Heter Mitztaref LaIsser is more chomer in his eyes, because at least you have the real Isser here, not just the taste. So even though you don't have a full kezayit, you can say the Heter is Mitztaref. But by Tam Keiker, you may have no mamashut at all. You only have taste. You don't have the actual liquid of the grapes that was absorbed in the bread that you're eating. And you could say just the opposite. If you hold Tam Keiker, he still would not hold of Heter Mitztaref LaIsser, because he would say, listen, Tam Keiker over there, everything that I'm eating tastes like the Isser. And the Torah has said that when you eat something that tastes of Isser, it has a din of Isser. Masha Inken, when you're talking about Heter Mitztaref LaIsser, you cannot say that. Over there, there's no reason for me to say it's Osser, because I don't really have a Kezias of Isser. Completely different approaches. Okay, now we're going to see in our sugya, obviously in the same way that we had an interrelationship, different approaches to the interrelationship of Chometz Nuksha and Chometz Al Yedei Ta'arovet, there are also different approaches as to what is more reasonable, Heter Mitztaref LaIsser, or the idea of Tam Keiker. So this is unique, says Rabbi Yochanan. Ze'iri says, no, it's not unique. There is another case. The other case is the case that we were talking about yesterday, which is Sa'or Bal Taktiro. So we darshaned over there that Kol Sa'or V'chol Devash Lo Taktiro. And there, it also is saying that even if you have less than the shear of Haktara, which is less than a Kezias, you are not allowed to do an act of Haktara, which is a Kezias, if part of it is Chometz. There too, we find the same halacha. And who would that be going according to that you say the same halacha? It would have to be going like Rebbe Eliezer, because we're darshaning over there Kol Sa'or. We talked about this yesterday. Now, we understood yesterday that Kol Sa'or and Kol Devash Lo Taktiru was simply a question of Taruvas. Now, all of a sudden, Ze'iri is saying, what makes you say it's more Taruvas oriented than Mishrat is? It seems to be saying the same idea. Any little bit, as long as you're doing the act of Haktorah. And who would that be going to? It would be, as we saw yesterday, Rebbe Eliezer Darshan's Kol. Ask the Gemara, now hold on a second. If you're going according to Rebbe Eliezer, who Darshan's Kol, then why are you only saying the Bal Taktiru? Chometz Pesach, it also says kol, right? Because, I mean, wasn't that the whole machlokas that we had yesterday? We said the machlokas between Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim about whether you're chayev on taruvas chametz. Is there this new lav of kol machmetzet, lo tochelu? And we said over there that, yes, there is. But according to Rabbi Eliezer, the meaning of kol machmetzet, lo tochelu, would, according to what you're saying, Ze'iri, would include also chometz bePesach in the dinim of heter mitzaref leiser. Now, I mean, nobody said that before. We thought that what we were talking about in terms of tarovet is somehow or other a question of mixing the two completely together. And I wasn't sure, really, in all honesty, I wasn't sure, and we mentioned this, what are we talking about? Do we have a kezayis bichtei achilas pras, in which case you really have the full mamashut of the yisr? Do we have just the taste of the chometz? Are we talking about min b'mino? Are we talking about min b'she'ino mino? All of those questions were sort of left hanging, and now we realize that it was even more complicated than that, because we should have considered the possibility that what we were really talking about was heter mitzaref leiser, and if we could learn Mishrat that way, then why can't we learn Kol Machmetzet that way? Especially according to Ze'iri, who just said that if you darshan the word kol in the sugya of kol se'or v'chol dvash lo taktiru mimenu yishel Hashem, so then if that's the case, then by Chometz B'Pesach we have the Kol Machmetzet as well. How come people are saying that this is unique to one case, that is to say Naziris, or to two cases, that is to say Naziris and Haktara, but not to Chometz B'Pesach? I don't get it. Says the Gemara, Ein Achinami. You don't get it because you're right. The fact is that Ziri could have spoken about the din of Kol Machmetzet Lo Tochelu in terms of Heter Mitzaref LeIsra as well. And he meant for you to understand that obviously he would include the dinim of chametz. The reason that he made a big fuss about the Baal Taktiro is because he was very upset. He was upset at the way that Abaye had presented the din of a little bit of Sa'ar. What Abaye had determined is the meaning of the pasuk of Kol is not that there's a din of heter mitzaref leiser, but rather this proves, says Abaye, that you don't need a kezayit, because otherwise why would it say Kol? So that would mean that Abaye is claiming that the concept of haktorah, which is the achila of the mizbeach, remember, it's always called achilat mizbeach, that even though achilat adam is in terms of a kezayit, achilat ha-mizbeach is not in terms of a kezayit. And Ze'iri did not like that one bit. So lafuke midi Abaye, who claimed that we can learn from this pasuk that yesh haktara lepachot mikezayit, and that's the reason that you'd be chayev on kol se'or. Kamash Milan comes along and says, Ziri, listen, gentlemen, please get that Abaye deal out of your head. Of course, there's no such thing as a haktara and pachas mikezayit, but this is a tremendous new chiddush, which is that there is a concept of heter mitzaref leiser for this chometz on the mizbeach, of course, as there is for chometz itself in terms of people eating chometz, which comes from a different pasuk, the Kol Machmetzet. Now, Rav Dini was sitting around and saying over these words of Rav Yochanan that there's a special case of heter mitzaref leiser based on the word mishrat that appears by nizirut. So Abaye said to Rav Dini, hold on a minute over here. You're telling me that it is not the norm that heter is mitzaref leiser all over the Torah? And that this is a brand new din that is to be found only in the dinim of Naziris? How could you say that? Look at this Mishnah from Masechet Tfuyot. We're talking over here about a mikbah. So a mikbah would be some nice oatmeal, let's say, right? And you've got in this oatmeal, you've got different things. You've got like your butter, margarine, and seasonings, and so on. So here you are with your porridge, which is the mikveh, and the seasonings in it, which would include, that's truma, but the seasonings could include all of these different things, these cinnamon, garlic, oil, whatever. I don't know who would put garlic in his oatmeal, but there are different types of porridges. After all, there are rumors that there are actually people who eat Marmorite, so on, so they might actually put garlic in their oatmeal as well. You never know. And in any event, if you do, so suppose a Tfu Yom comes along, and he touches part of the actual oatmeal. He touches part of the porridge per se. So the idea over there was that since the main porridge is the oatmeal, and the oatmeal is truma, and truma can become pasul from a tfu yom, so because of that, he pasuls the entire thing, because since it's all one porridge, so we consider it all to be mekabel tuma. But in the opposite case, where the porridge itself is made out of oatmeal, which is chulin, and the flavorings, the shum and the shemen, are referring to cases of truma, and now the tfu yom touches part of them, he only pasuled the type of thing where he touched. Because since the main ingredient over here in your porridge is not truma, it's chulin, so we don't view the porridge to be truma. And therefore, the truma was not mekabel from the maga of the tfu yom. So now we asked over there, when we were learning that Mishnah, everybody asks the obvious question. Well, I mean, if you're not treating it like truma, then why the heck is the place that you touched supposed to be pasul? I mean, it isn't the shemen, the tavlin, whatever it was that you used, the shum, aren't all of those seasonings, aren't they batel in the rov, which is the chulin? And therefore, since the main ingredient is chulin, there should be no problem. And therefore, we should treat the whole thing as chulin. And chulin is not affected by a tfu yom. Now, the way that Rabba Bar Bar Chana explained that Mishnah is, and he said this there in the name of Rabbi Yochanan himself, by the way, remarkably, which makes the idea even more powerful. This entire sugya is as word for word with additional material in Masechet Nazir. So over there, it brings out the fact that it's Rabbi Yochanan, and it brings out a lot of other issues that the Gemara over here doesn't bother going into. So he explained over there, Matam, why is the Mokum Maga O considered to be pasul? Ho'il v'zar lo ke'aleim b'kezayit. Because since if a zar would be eating a kezayit of them in this mixture, so because of that, they're considered to be present there. So the idea would be true over here. He would get malchus, apparently, and that means that we're not going to be mevatel the case of the garlic or whatever, cinnamon, whatever it is that you put in. And if that's the case, we thought wrong. We thought that they were going to be batel. Apparently, they are not batel. So that would mean that we treat it with truma because of the fact that it can be chayiv for eating it. We're going to treat it as truma because of the touch of the tfu yom. But it's still not considered to be entirely truma. So how exactly can you explain that? I mean, is it or is it not? Therefore, the only thing I can understand about this as a bayin is that it's true that it is truma in terms of eating, but it's not considered to be truma in terms of the tfu yom. Okay, so then how do you explain that? Hechidami. I mean, does this make sense? Isn't it a contradiction? The only way I can understand it is that indeed it remains separate. And the reason that the czar would be chayev on eating it is because of a heter mitzarif l'isser. But heter mitzarif l'isser wouldn't change its din legabe kabbalas tuma, but it's mechayev you for the achila. So because of that, we answered the area that you touched through a tfu yom, since a czar would be chayev. There you go. So, I mean, that means we're taking for granted, says Abaye, that we're going to be able to be mechayev the zar on achilas truma as long as it was hetter mitzaref leitzer, even though he didn't eat an entire kezayit, he had only a little bit. So then, if that's what Rabbi Yochanan says, how do you explain Rabbi Yochanan saying that mishrat is a din only in a nazir if over here he's ready to apply it to truma? Said Rav Dimi, you, Abaye, are forgetting an extremely important point. He doesn't mean that you're eating a kezayis of the cereal of your oatmeal, in which case, yes, you'd be right. We need to say a mitzaref leiser. He means that you eat a kezayit of the shemen and the all the other things which were truma. That was a kezayit, meaning when you eat a kezayit b'chtei achilas pras. So basically what we'd be talking about over there is that you've got the amount of, again, in machlokas, whether you're talking about 4 beitzim or whether you're talking about 3 beitzim, but within that amount of cereal, you have that amount of shemen and spices of truma. So what we're saying is that since you would be eating the actuality of that amount of a kezias of truma, and you would be eating it within the zman of the shira of achila, therefore, since it's possible to be mitchayev on this mikveh, therefore we give it a chumra in terms of the maga of tful yom. That is not to suggest even for a moment that we're talking about heter mitzaref le'iser. Heter mitzaref le'iser works when you don't have a kezayit. Here we do have a kezayit of iser. Obviously, if you have a kezayit of iser, you don't need any kind of tziruf. You don't have to add anything to be mechayev for the act of achila. All that concerns me is that I should be able to consume that kezayis within the shir of achilas pras. And that's what it's talking about over here. It's talking about that in this mixture, you have a kezayis of shum, shemen, and so on within an achilas pras. Now, I must caution you that there is a very important machlokas about what the concept of kezayis b'chtei achilas pras is. Does a kezayis b'chtei, achilas pras actually turn the entire mixture into iser? Because since it contains enough to be mechayev you without going on to any concept of the tarovis per se or the idea of heter mitzaref le'iser, therefore a level of mixture that retains within it the capability of your being chayev midiraisa is never considered to be just a mixture. It becomes the actual iser. So this would be a case where, as opposed to the concept of tam ke'ikr becoming the midrabanan, perhaps something that is usr in its entirety, over here we'd be talking about the actual lav, according to some shitas, if you eat just the kezias of the cereal. The pashtas is that we're talking about actually eating a pras, which would be the 3 beitzim or the 4 beitzim, within which you ate the kezayis with the achilas pras. Obviously, you don't have to do that here, because here we're just talking about the theory of it. Since that's the possibility, therefore, we would be machmer on it to give it the dinim of a kabbalas tuma as if it is truma from a tful yom. Okay. So again, let's talk about the different issues we've spoken about. We've spoken about the concept of heter mitzaref le'iser, noted that it's one way of understanding the idea of mishrat, which is how Rabbi Yochanan understood it, saw its expansion into the idea of haktara, according to Rabbi Eliezer, if he darshins kol, and into the dinim of chametz bepesach, according to Rabbi Eliezer, who darshins kol from komach metzet. And then we looked at the idea of heter mitzaref le'iser as opposed to the idea of yesh haktara brachos b'kezayit, which is the way that Abaye was talking about things. And then we spoke about this question of a new idea, a level of mixture where you still have the full presence of the Isser in terms of the shear of Achila. Namely, you have a Gezayas Bichtei Achilas Pras, which Rav Dimi is now offering as an alternative to Abaye's understanding of the Mishnah in Tful Yom that talks about the mixture of cereal with flavoring. And over here he says it has nothing to do, not with Tam Keiker. It has nothing to do with Heter Mitzaref LeIsser. It has to do with the simple fact that the Isser is still exactly what it always was. In the same way, if you didn't have that Isser in a mixture and you ate it in the time that's allotted, to Bichdei Achilas Pras, so if the additional material forces you to always only be able to eat it in a Kezayis Bichdei Achilas Pras, because it's embedded in that amount of Isser, who cares? You're still going to be eating the Isser. So therefore, Rav Dimi says, that is not part of our conversation. Wait a minute, says Abaye. Now hold on a second. The din of Kezayis Bichdei Achilas Pras, I mean, obviously that's halacha l'moshe Sinai. It's introduced that way in the Mishnah. But what you're claiming is that there's a direct correlation between a Kezayis Bichdei Achilas Pras that's actually mixed with other things and the din of the amount of time that you have available to eat that Kezayis, which is not mixed, and that is the Achilas Pras. Are you telling me that they're one and the same? And that we learn out from the halacha l'moshe Sinai that gives us the shear. And by the way, where is that halacha? That halacha is by Negayim, where the Torah says, remember, that he comes into the house in which there's a nega, and the shaila is, at what point do his begadim become tummy that he's wearing? And we learn out from ha'ochel babayit that there is a shear of the amount of time that's achila. That's where we learn out this whole concept, patchitim velo patsa'or. Remember, we went through many times the posik that talks about chita v'sa'ora, and each thing is meramis to one of the shiurim in the Torah. So you're claiming that that deal is a halacha even in the mixture where it's embedded in something else. Are you telling me that that's part of the halacha l'moshe Sinai? Says Rav Dimi, absolutely. It's all one and the same din. Says Abaye, what? So then how do you explain the fact that there's a machlokas of the Rabban and a Reb Eliezer and our Mishnah right here, darn it? Didn't we just come out saying that if you've got Kutach HaBavli, now this Kutach HaBavli is soaked through and through with bread and flour that is fermented, And nonetheless, it turned out that Reb Eliezer was the only one who said the Chachayev, because he darshan the Komach Metzed, and the Rabbanan who didn't hold of this new idea of Tarovas Chometz, they said, no, you're not going to be Chayev. You're claiming, Rav Dimi, that as long as there's a Kezayis Bichdei Achilas Pras, you are claiming that there is going to be a Chiev Midiraisa, Zalokh L'Meshem Sinai. So give me one good reason why the Rabbanan would possibly argue on Reb Eliezer, where there definitely is a Kezayis Bichdei Achilas Pras in a bowl of Kutach. All right? I don't understand that. Says Rav Dimi, okay, you don't understand that. Very good. So tell me how you do understand it, okay? Because, I mean, you're claiming that there's the concept of heter mitzaref la'isser in kol ha'Torah kula, and you're claiming that that's a given, and the Rabbanan hold of that. How do you explain the fact that the Rabbanan disagree with Reb Eliezer about Kutach HaBavli, for heaven's sakes? I mean, put that in your own pipe and smoke it. Don't ask me. You first explain it to yourself, okay? What are you going to say? Etam and Starfly. You're still going to have to give me some special understanding of why Kutach HaBavli is different than anything else in the Torah. Okay? Want me to help you out? I'll help you out. Obviously, Kutach HaBavli has a completely different standard What kind of madman eats kutach habavli? You have to be insane to eat kutach habavli. Kutach habavli is a dip. How can you give a dip, which is inedible, just to sit there scooping up? Yes, there are madmen, and there's a lot of them in the kutach habavli ward in the Bovel Insane Asylum, but that's certainly called Botla Daita Yitzukolona. Anyway, in order to eat a Kizayish Bechtei Achilas Pras with kutach habavli, you'd have to eat raw kutach habavli. And the moment that you mix it with anything else, now it's spread out over more than an Achilas Pras. That's your answer. Very simple. And you also have to understand this. So I say, Anachlu kutach habavli. And kutach habavli does not have a Kizayish Bechtei Achilas Pras. You're going to have to deal with it in your own way. I'll tell you this is the way to understand it. Because I'm a manishak. If you're going to eat it raw, in other words, you're sorry for achilai. So you just eat it straight. That's not called eating. And if you're using it as a dip and you put things into it, then you're not going to have a Kizayish Bechtei Achilas Pras. Okay, says Abaye, fine. You answered the kutach habavli. I got more problems for you with this claim that the idea of Kizayish Bechtei Achilas Pras is halacha l'meshe Sinai. Look at this, okay? Shtei Kederot, famous case that we've talked about a number of times. So you've got two pots over here. One of these pots is filled with chulin. One of them is filled with truma. And now you've got these two grinders in front of them. And in one of them, you were grinding spices that were truma. And in one of them, you were grinding spices that were truma, echulin. And they got mixed. The spices were put in. One of your little kids came along, put the spices from the grinder into the pot, thinking he's being very helpful to mommy. And now she's yelling and going nuts. Now, I don't know if you put the truma into the truma, maybe you put the truma to the chulin. Now, both of them are going to be usher unless we find the kohen. The deal is it's okay. How is it okay? Because this is called a tolin. It's one of the tolin cases. We could be tolet that the chulin fell into chulin and the truma fell into truma. Sha'ani omer, truma latoch truma nafla, and the chulin was latoch chulin naflu. Now, I ask you, if you hold that a kezayish b'tchei achilas pras is d'oraisa, so then why in the world would we have a right to say sha'ani omer? I mean, you can only say sha'ani omer under d'rabbanan, obviously. I mean, what right would you have to say sha'ani omer? If it's a derabbanan, it's a derabbanan, can be makel, because we say in these cases, since there's just 50-50 chance that it's okay, so we didn't aser. Okay, that's fine. But then that must prove that even if the truma had fallen into the chulin pot, we still would have not been mechayev you, midiraisa. So you see, assuming as we are, that the normal would be that you would have a kezayis bechtei achilas pras of these spices. So you see that there is no such din, says Abaye to Rav Dimi. There's no such din as a concept of Kizayish Bechtei Achilas Pras where it's in a mixture, says Rav Dimi. What does this have to do? The reason that in this case we could say Tailin is because we're talking about Trumas Tavlin. Everybody knows that. Trumas Tavlin is only a Derabbanan. The Torah was only Mechayev you to take off Truma from the Dagon Tirosh V'Yitzar, or at the very most, the Shiva Saminim, according to the Rambam, but certainly not from cinnamon. So what's the problem? The Rabbanan were Mekel on Truman the Rabbanan. Yes, says Abaye. Okay, I'll bring you another case, exactly the same case where it's D'oraisa. Cut it out. How about this case, okay? Shtei Kupot, Achat Shel Chulin V'Achat Shel Truma. Now you've got two containers, we're talking about grain, everything d'oraisa. In front of them are two smaller sa'ot baskets filled with grain, you got it? Not tavlin. One of them is chulin, one of them is truma, same idea. The kids mix it, You don't know which is which. It says the same thing. Mutar. Shani omer chulin de toch chulin aflo truma le toch truma aflo. Okay, so can we dispense with your argument about tavlin? And now we got truma de arise. Okay, and it says over there that you can still say tavlin that the chulin de toch chulin the truma le toch truma. Now, if you are correct in your claim that gezayis bekveiachilas pras is the arise, how do you get away with saying shani omer? Says Rav Dimi. That's also Truma de Rabbana. It's talking about Truma Bizman Azeh. And Truma Bizman Azeh is the Rabbana. Stop bringing me your questions from irrelevant issues. All right. So now let's get back to the main point. Rabbi Yochanan is claiming that Mishrat teaches me Heter Mitztaref Le'Isser. Wait a second. Don't I need Mishrat to tell me the more obvious problem? That it all got, that this is what? An infusion of grapes. So, I mean, why would you say that it's Heter Mitztaref Le'Isser? I mean, you understand Heter Mitztaref Le'Isser, as you're saying, that part of the bread had no grape juice in it, and the other part does have grape juice in it, and now we're going to be Mitzarev, the grape juice to the bread. I mean, why don't we just say that it's mixed? I don't get it. If it's mixed, so then the idea of Mishrat would be coming to tell me the concept of Tam Keiker. And that is like so obvious, isn't it? I mean, how do you get to talking about this brand new idea of Heter Mitztaref Le'Isser, which is a complete breakdown in the way in which we normally consider the concept of the Shiurim being in the Isser and not in the act. And now you're ready to say, it's not there for Tam Keiker. Don't I need it? For Tam Keiker, namely, she'im shara anavim b'mayim v'yesh b'em tam yayin. Let's say you put grapes, the nazir, he puts grapes into water, and now he takes out the grapes. There's the taste of the grapes in the water. The chiddush of Tam Keiker is that you would now be chayef for drinking the water. Now, Rashi takes this literally, that the water has been transformed into the etzem isser because it has the tam. Not that the issue is that the isser remains there, but you would still need the shear of the isser. And mikan atadan lekola Torah kula. Once more, this is all braisa, that once you need mishrat and you derive from it the din of tam keiker, you can learn from here kol haTorah kula, because it's an obvious kal v'chomer. Look. If a nazir, now a nazir ein isro isur olam, a nazir is basically a 30-day thing, right? You make take the naziris, and you're also on the wine for 30 days. That's A. B, a nazir is not usur bahana'a from all of these grape things. He's only usur to eat them. And C, yesh heter l'isuro. Naziris is a very low-level isser, because if you want to cancel it, all you need to do is go to a chacham and tell him you changed your mind about the naziris, and he's matir the naziris, and therefore it's in your hands to cancel the whole isser. So that's about as light an isser as you could possibly get. It's kal in three ways. And nonetheless, the Torah says, even in this case, we're going to make tam keiker because of mishrat. So when you're talking about heavy duty, isurim, let's talk about kilayim. Okay, kilayim, there's nothing you can do about it. It's isur is forever. And not only that, kilayim is usur b'ana, kilayakera. And there's no possible way of being matir that isur. In heter l'isura. So in three ways, it's more chomer. Isn't it obvious that the Torah is going to say tam keiker in this case as well? And that would be true when it comes to Orla, let's say, on at least two out of the three. And Rashi has a very strange understanding of the two out of the three. Rashi understands that Orla is usur bahana, and you can never be materit, but it's not considered to be isur olam. Because it's only usher for 3 years, it's not usher for the fourth year anymore. which Tosfos says. I mean, okay, but whatever is Osir forever. It's just that it is an Orla after the third year. So how can you say the Isra of Orla is not Israel? So Tosfos is sort of in a pickle because he doesn't think that's what the meaning is. So he understands it to mean the idea of Neter Avoy, which is still a leftover of the Dinim of Orla. And over there, there's a Heter because you could take it to Yerushalayim and eat it. Okay, whatever. But in any event, what's important to us is that we're going to be deriving this halacha of Tam Ke'ikr, L'kola Torah Kula, and we use it to teach me Tam Ke'ikr. We do not use it to tell me Heter Mitztarif L'Isser. So now, how in the world does Rabbi Yochanan get away with arguing on the Braisa? This is the Gemara. He gets away with it because this Braisa is going according to Rabbanan, and Rabbi Yochanan is going according to Rabbi Akiva, because Rabbi Akiva, in fact, learns Mishras to mean Heter Mitztarif L'Isser and not to tell me Tam Ke'ikr. Which, wait a minute, I'm not familiar with that machlokas. Where's the machlokas? Which Rabbi Akiva? I mean, are you talking about Rabbi Akiva? I'm assuming you're talking about Rabbi Akiva in the Mishnah in Nazir, right? So, Mesechens Nazir. See, like Rabbi Akiva in Masnisin, where it says over there, Rabbi Akiva Omer, Nazir Shesharapi Toba Yahin, V'yeshbo Letzarev Kidei Kizayit Chayab. Okay, on the surface, I understand that you're reading those words to mean that if you can be mitzarev, a kezias between the wine and the bread, then you would be chayav, in which you understand that, well, then Rabbi Akiva is saying as clear as a bell, heter mitzarev liyeser. That's how you're reading it, right? How do you know to read it that way? The word mitzarev has two different meanings. The word mitzarev can mean to take two different materials and add them together, which, yes, would mean heter mitzarev liyeser. But the word mitzarev also means to be able to collect from various places and bring together, in which case, maybe that's what he means. How do you know that we're talking about being mitzarev, pitov, and yayin? Maybe he means if you can bring from all of the scattered wine that has been absorbed in this bread, and you would have a full kezias that is there, so then you're chayev because you ate the wine. You'll tell me, come on, how could it mean that? What's the chiddush? I mean, I don't need Rabbi Akiva to teach me that if a nazir drinks, eats a kezias of wine, that he would be chayev. No, not true. I do need it because over here it's mixed into something else and it's no longer be'eno. And it's coming to tell me a big kiddush that afal pik and you're still chayev, but it doesn't come to tell me that you're going to be able to use the bread to be mashlim the shear of the kezias achil of the wine. You have no right to jump to that conclusion. Okay? So show me Rabbi Akiva saying Heter Mitztarif L'Isser, clearly, okay? Because this is not clear. Okay, how about this? There's a Rabbi Akiva in the Braita about this issue that makes it very clear. D'tanya, Rabbi Akiva Omer, Nazir Sheshara Pito B'Yayin. Now look at this. V'ochal Kezayit Mipat Umi Yayin. Okay, here Rabbi Akiva spells it out. The guy eats a Kezayit which is comprised of partially bread and partially wine. He's chayev, all right? Happy? So now Rabbi Akiva definitely holds that by Naziris, there's a din of Heter Mitztarif L'Isser. Okay, fine. All right, so you want to tell me that Rabbi Yochanan was quoting Rabbi Akiva. Okay, I'm happy with that. I mean, I can't complain. But where, in fact, would Rabbi Akiva get it from? To jump to conclusions that Mishrat teaches me Heter Mitztarif L'Isser, instead of, now you'll note that Barnea today is coming to illustrate Heter Mitztarif L'Isser. He has one cup, which is full of truma, and he has another cup, which is coffee of chulin. He's about to pour one into the other and offer it to me to see if I'll drink it. And he's going to do it so fast, we're going to have to be tailing because we have no idea what went into what. Okay. I am. But where would Rabbi Akiva get the knowledge that there's a concept of Tam Keiker for him to say that Mishrat is coming to tell me something far more esoteric, namely that Heter is Mitzarev Leyeser? Ah, does the Gemara tell you where he knows Tam Keiker? He learns out the idea of Tam Keiker from Basar B'Cholov. Because, I mean, look, in Basar B'Cholov, what do you have? You have only the taste of the milk. Now, that's a big machlokas rishonim. Do you really only have the taste of the milk? Let's say when you cooked meat in milk. Do we call that only the taste of the milk because we no longer see the milk? And therefore, la halacha, there's no mamoshes of the milk? Or do we take that case to be mamoshes? Because we know that the volume of the milk has gone down, has been absorbed in the meat. Now, those who hold that that is considered to be mamashut, they understand that Gemara is bringing a raya from the milk, not from the meat. So if you had meat that was in cooked in the milk, now you removed the meat from the mixture. The milk is 100% usher as basar b'cholav, which means that the Torah considers the taste to be the equivalent of the yisr, right? Okay, so nochanami lo shna. That's true over here too. And the Rabbanan, why did they need Bishrat to tell me to tell me Tam Keiker? Why can't they learn out Tam Keiker from Basar B'Cholov like Rabbi Akiva and then use Mishrat to tell me Heter Mitzarev Leyeser? Says the Rabbanan, what are you, crazy? You can't learn anything from Basar B'Cholov. Basar B'Cholov is an insane chiddush that is not found anywhere in the Torah. It violates your concepts of Isser. And the rule is that you cannot learn from a chiddush and extrapolate to Isurin overall. Well, what I understand, what's big chiddush about Basar B'Cholov? I mean, what, the fact that the meat is okay on its own, and the milk is okay on its own, and now put the two together, and voila, you now have a new Isser, and you're saying, where did that happen from? What do you mean, what happened? What about Kilayim? Why do you say this is so unusual? Kilayim Nami, you started off, you have something that's perfectly okay on its own. Two things perfectly okay, you put them together, boom, all of a sudden they're Isser. So that is a pretty strong issue in the Torah, whether it's in terms of eating, and it's in terms of wearing mixtures of materials. What's so different about that and eating mixtures of Basar B'Cholov? So, says the Gemara, come on. Take a piece of meat, put it into milk, and let it sit there for the next week so that it's completely infused the taste of the meat in the milk. Is the milk usser? No. Cook it for a minute, and then the milk is usser. So it's obviously not a function of the taste, right? It's a whole brand new idea. The Torah only ussered meat and milk that was cooked together. So you can't tell me it's because of the taste, because the Torah B'davka doesn't usser the taste. So you can't use that. You're right. I mean, obviously, in the end, when I do cook at the Torah Asrit, even though there's only a taste, but you can't use that to prove that there's a concept of Tam Keiker overall. Sorry. Ah, come on, says the Gemara. That's so true. How could Rabbi Akiva learn the din of Tam Keiker from Basar B'Cholov? Isn't it a chiddush? You're right. It is. We have another marker for Tam Keiker. And what is that? Milchemes Midyan. What happened in Milchemes Midyan? Well, they come back with all of these spoils, and they got all of these kitchen. You got the entire IKEA that's coming back with you from Midian. Problem is, it's slightly used IKEA, but you know, when you've been in the Midbar for 40 years, your standards are maybe a little bit lower. Okay, so now we got this whole big sugya over there. Anything that was used, the type of things used in fire, you have to put it through fire. Anything that was used in boiling water, put it through boiling water, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Why? What's wrong with using these pots? I don't understand. Must be because the pot has absorbed the taste of the chazer that was cooked in the pot, right? So you can't go and use Midian food. So therefore, you have to get rid of the food from the pot. Okay, what's the issur? The taste. It's just the taste that was absorbed in the pot. Brilliant. So do you see Tom Kaker? Absolutely. Therefore, hey, that's brilliant. So why, in fact, did the Rabbanan, why did the Rabbanan not learn out from Giulei Akum? And then they would be able to use Mishrat to tell me the din of Etam et Starev Eliezer. Rabbanan, Giulei Nachrim as a Chiddush. Because, look, everybody knows that the Torah says that once the nevela becomes disgusting, it's not considered to be usur. How do you know that? Because it says you have to be able to give it to the ger, to sell it to the akum. If it's not going to be that, it's going to be disgusting, then you won't be included in the usur nevela at all because the two become interrelated. Now, when you absorb taste in a pot, okay, you're coming along and you're using this pot. You're telling me that that's the kind of, I love using dirty coffee pots. Absolutely. I would never use a beautiful new glass kettle to make sure that there's no taste of old coffee in it. Absolutely. It just adds so much enjoyment to my coffee. Come on, man. I mean, so why in the world would I be usher to utilize these used IKEA coffee pots that I get from Midian when it just is, who wants that?
Okay, you have no grounds to say it.
So nonetheless, the Torah is saying that you're going to have to get rid of the taste. So you see that what? That even though it's no sin tam livgam, the Torah wants you to get rid of the taste. But no sin tam livgam should not be usur. This stuff has been sitting in there for I don't know how many times they cooked in here and when the last time they cooked. Ugh. This stuff is like 3 months old, and you're telling me I got to get rid of it? Uh-huh. So wait a minute. So Rabbi Akiva, it's a Chiddush. How indeed did you learn out Tam Keiker? Rabbi Akiva says, I hold like Rabbi Chiya Bereide Ravuna. When the Torah assert Giulei Akum from Midian, it only assert a fresh pot that had been used on the same day. It certainly was not talking to people. Just because you're 40 years in the midbar does not mean you're going to make a cup of Starbucks with an old pot. And for sure, that is not what we're talking about. So lo asra Torah elabik derabat yuma. Therefore, it's not nosin tam livgam, according to Rabbi Akiva, and therefore, it's not a chiddush. So I derive the din of the halach of tam keikar from the case of Milchemes Midian. And why did the Rabbanan disagree? I mean, how do they know it's talking about an older pot? Maybe it's not. Say it's not, says the Rabbanan. I don't care. You obviously are not a connoisseur. Let me tell you something. Even a Kedera Bat Yumanami, lo afshadol pagma purta. There is not a good taste that comes out of a pot. Never. Even if it is within 24 hours, the very fact that it was absorbed in the sides of a pot, whatever that thing was made out of, when it's exuded back into your coffee, it doesn't taste good. And that's true about anything that you'll cook. And in fact, this whole halacha is definitely a chiddush that we're machmer on beyond the normal dinim of time. Therefore, we cannot use it as the basis of the whole question. Okay, Rabosai, what a day. So we have expanded into Kol HaTorah Kula over here in the Dinim of Taharoves, examined the idea of Kizayis Bichtei Achilas Pras, the various shitas and the Rishonim of what that Chiyav would be, understood a machlokas between Abai and Ravdimi about whether such a concept would apply midiraisa when it's mixed with other things, discussed the concept of Tam Keiker and the Machlokas about whether Tam Keiker actually redefines what it is that you're eating, or you would still only talk about Isser, but not that the whole thing becomes a Heft of Isser. And started off even with this new idea of Heter Mitzarev LeIsser, which we find is Nogea only in certain very special places. And that would be either, according to Rabbi Yochanan, just the case of Nazirus, where it says Mishrat, or we also had the possibility that it extends into the Kol Sa'or V'Kol Dvash in terms of the Yisra Vaktara, or Chametz B'Pesach as well, because of Komach Metzes, Aliba the Rebbe Eliezer. And what we have not yet understood, and that's going to be our opening gambit tomorrow, is if we were able to make a limut for Kol HaTorah Kula out of Mishrat, from a Kal V'Chomer, from Nazir to other Isurim, when we thought that Mishrat was teaching us Tam Ke'ikr, then why the heck don't we make the same Kal V'Chomer about Heter Mitztaref L'Isser, according to Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yochanan here, who learned that Mishrat is referring to Heter Mitztaref L'Isser? Should be exactly the same Kal V'Chomer. So why is everybody agreeing that Heter Mitztaref L'Isser is such a unique kind of thing that it might apply only to Naziris? Now, that is something that should keep you at the edge of your chair, certainly at least until tomorrow, and even 24 hours, maybe even 2 or 3 days passing, will still not be nice in Tam Lifgam, which was another question that we were worried about. And so we'll get to it, Bezrat Hashem, in the morning. So see you all. Have wonderful, wonderful days all. And Chizku V'Yimtzu.